So Holy Scripture, if nothing else, is repetitive. Things get repeated over and over again. Nicely said, the writers and the editors of the Bible are trying to just get their point across. Not nicely said, enough already. The classic example, which is not original to me, that probably have used before, an example of that, if you were to take an X-Acto knife, a razor knife, and carefully cut out all the passages in the Bible that have to do with money or being generous. Yes, we talk about money a lot in the church, but Kate and I have no apologies about that. But if you were to take an X-Acto knife and cut out all the passages in the Bible that mention money and being generous with it, your money, you'd have a very holy Bible. It gets worse in the sermon when I have an original one, but you can't wait. But seriously, our two verses that Dick will read from Scripture are another example of that. We are asked over and over and over again in the Bible to give thanks in all circumstances, to bless God, to give glory to God, and yes, to say thanks before every meal. Imagine that. Our God is pretty demanding.
Reading first from Deuteronomy. Tu mangeras donc et te seras rassasié, et tu béniras l'Éternel ton Dieu à cause du bon pays qu'il t'aura donné. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. And now from Matthew. Le roi fut arrêté, mais à cause de ses membres et de convives, il commanda qu'on la lui donne. The king was grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he commanded it to be given.
So one verse in Paul's letter to Corinthians puts it this way. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And in the Acts of the Apostles we read, and when Paul had said these things, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. In the book of Deuteronomy, you shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that God has given you. And then finally, the familiar passage from about the loaves and fishes from Matthew. Then Jesus ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, Jesus looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. So do you want to know what my conclusion to this is? If you were to take that same X-Acto knife and carefully cut out all of the Bible passages that have to do with giving thanks to God, giving thanks in all circumstances, giving thanks, yes, before every meal, we would have a pretty cheesy Bible. A holy and Swiss cheesy Bible. Sorry. Yes, Kate and I have lost, within just a little over a week, two individuals who played central roles in our faith formation. Two individuals, my mother and her grandmother, who helped lay the foundation for our understanding of what it means to be a faithful child of God. And a cornerstone of that faith foundation is the importance of trusting in God, no matter what life throws your way, and giving thanks to God, no matter what life throws your way. Kate's grandmother, Sue Vandenbeele's mother, Ruth Haar, lost her husband when he was only 72 She was only 68 years of age. And as some of you know, my mom was only 53 when she lost my father at the age of 56. What a great and wonderful spirit Kate's grandmother was. One reason I was very fond of Ruth was because she was very fond of my dimples. Understandably, Bob and Sue would make a special effort to bring Sue's mom here to hear Katie preach. Sorry, Kate. So after the service, I would usually be greeting people by the door here, by the piano door, and without fail, Ruth would say with a great big smile, often touching my cheek with her hand, "You have such wonderful dimples." What's not to love about Grandma Ruth? Seriously, what there is to love about Grandma Ruth and about my mother Alice is their profound trust in God and their deep and abiding faith in God, which manifested itself in a joy for living, a joy for life, and a thankfulness for life. You see, it appears that both Ruth and Alice were somehow brainwashed by those repetitive words from Scripture about the importance of giving thanks in all circumstances, the importance of giving thanks for life, for love, for family, for love, for food, for all the gifts that a good and gracious God has bestowed upon us. But fear not, Ruth and Alice were in good company with others who have come under the spell of the Bible about the importance of giving thanks. For example, 4th century St. Ambrose declared, "No duty is more urgent than that of giving thanks." 17th century Welsh poet George Herbert confessed, "Thou hast given me so much to me, God. Give me one more thing, a thankful heart." And then Meister Eckhart, the 14th century German mystic, proclaimed, "If the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough." And much closer to home and in time, there is Al Reed. I won't call him a saint or a poet or a mystic. If he were here, who knows what he might call me. But Al, as you know, is often a singer in the chancel choir and also an outstanding breakfast chef of eggs, French toast, and pancakes. You see, on the first and third Tuesday of each month, Al, with the help of Bruce Lester, offers a potpourri breakfast back in the church kitchen. The picture on your front cover is actually one I took of this past Tuesday's breakfast, where friendship, fellowship, and love are shared, as well as always some good-natured kidding. But alas, it appears that Al has also been brainwashed by the Bible's relentless repetition. He begins each and every breakfast with a grace, with a prayer to give thanks to a good and gracious God. This is the prayer he offers. "Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come together to enjoy the friendship and fellowship we find here. Bless those that are here and those that are not here for whatever reason, with a special blessing for Chris. Let this food nourish our bodies as your word nourishes our spirit. All this we pray in your name. Amen." No duty is more urgent than that of giving thanks. Since the passing of my mom 2 weeks ago and then Kate's grandmother this past week, I have found myself using the same four words to describe them both: fun, funny, feisty, and faithful. And I have to wonder if being fun, funny, and feisty may actually be outgrowths of being faithful, of being thankful and trusting in your God. Not many years ago, this congregation on a Sunday after Easter was blessed to hear some memorable words that Grandma Ruth and now Kate and her family live by. What better words to live by than these words which Ruth delivered that Sunday morning right here from memory? She said, God is my help in every need. God does my every hunger feed. God walks beside me, guides my way through every moment of the day. I now am wise, I now am true, patient, kind, and loving too. All things I am can do and be through Christ, the truth that is in me. God is my health, I can't be sick. God is my strength, unfailing quick. God is my all, I have no fear, since God and love and truth are here. Having a trusting, faithful, and thankful spirit to God, no matter what is swirling around you or around me, that was the hallmark of Grandma Ruth and Alice, both relatively young widows. I conclude by saying that I don't think my mom wore her faith or demonstratively on her sleeves. She was, after all, a New Englander through and through, an Episcopalian to boot. It was at St. Mark's Episcopal Church in New Britain that she had her upbringing. And while church going was a huge part of my life, obviously, my parents really weren't overbearing about it. I don't ever remember challenging them about going to church on a Sunday morning. It was never a choice, it simply is what we did as a family. It was where I found faith, family, and love. Another thing that was never optional in my mom's life was giving thanks before a meal. Before she couldn't go out anymore from her home at Cromwell Covenant Village, on a pretty regular basis, someone in the family would take her to 99 there in Cromwell, or to the ABC Pizzeria, really more of a restaurant than a pizza joint. And of course, there was the obligatory glass of red wine on the front cover, also, doctor's order, she would always remind us. But then when our favorite waitress, Bucci, brought the meal, my mom would fold her hands and quietly utter these words, "Are we thankful? Are we thankful?" And our reply was, "Yes, we are thankful. Yes, we are thankful." Friends, our good and gracious God has blessed us with faith, with our families, with this amazing family, and with an abundance of love. Are we thankful?